الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 4th of May in the year 2018 الحمد لله for the last few nights I've been taking a glimpse into the awesome station of our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the last thing I mentioned was the hadith of the deer, in which when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam set the deer free, the deer took the said the shahada, and then Jibreel descended alayhi salatu wasalam and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveys to you his salam and says, by my honor and my majesty, my mercy for your ummah is much more than that deer's love for her children. Indeed, I will hand the ummah over to you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the same way that the deer returned to you. Subhanallah. So in this beautiful hadith in Abu Nu'aym in his Dalail Nubu' al-Qawl al-Badi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told two things by our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first is that Allah the Almighty and Glorious loves this his ummah more than the deer loved its children. And secondly, just as the deer returned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala says, I will hand the ummah over to you, meaning you will be given the keys of Jannah. So when it comes to miracles, there are many. Consider the infamous butter bikes. In Abu Nu'aym in his Dalail Nubu'ah, page 155, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 594 of the New English Translation, Sayyidina Hamza ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu, he relates, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for the expedition of Tabuk, I was in charge of the bike containing the butter. When I once looked at the bike as I prepared the Messenger of Allah's food sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I noticed that there was very little butter in it. I thus placed the bag in the sun and I fell asleep. I was later awakened by the sound of liquid filling in the bag. And when I got up, I thus grabbed the bag by his head. Seeing me, the Messenger of Allah remarked, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you had left it, the entire valley would have been flowing with butter. Oh Hamza, radiyallahu, subhanallah. So let's look at this. So this is recorded in the great work of Abu Nu'aym, the proof of prophethood, the Dalail Nubu'ah, page 155, and also Hayat al-Sahab. So obviously the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the most hospitable. So even on journeys he would cater for others. So he had a butter bag. This was obviously to help people to give them some sustenance during the journey. But when the Sahaba called Hamza ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu looked at the butter bag, there was nothing in it. So he goes, he just left it, fell asleep. When he awoke, it was the sound of the liquid filling in the bag. So imagine, from nothing, it's now overflowing. So what's the natural reaction? He grabbed hold of the head of the bag. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, had you left it, the entire valley would have been flowing with blood. So no, these are miracles. Now what's strange about this miracle? Did the Prophet request it? No. So normally you get a miracle where somebody, maybe an unbeliever, is asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or a Sahaba is asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or maybe the Prophet himself requests. This is a miracle. Nobody asked for anything. So this was a direct gift from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was identical to what Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam's beloved mother, Sayyida Hajar radiyallahu anha, did when she saw the blessed Zamzam flowing for the first time. She took some of the blessed water and then trapped the water by restricting it. To which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon the mother of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. If she had not hastened to take the water, the Zamzam well would have become a flowing spring. Mm-hmm. This is in Sahih Bukhari, number 3183. So note, very similar. So obviously the famous incident where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam left his wife and his son in the valley of Makkah and left them with nothing. And then the report mentions that Bibi Hajar was concerned for her son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and she started running between the two mountains looking for water, i.e. Safa and Marwa. And each time the child's crying, she runs back. The seventh time, water starts to spring out of the earth, Zamzam. Either Ismail kicked the floor, alayhi salatu wasalam, or Jibreel, alayhi salatu wasalam. But then what did she do? She restricted the water. So the Prophet said, if she had left it, it would have been a flowing spring. So imagine going to Makkah and there's a river there of Zamzam. But what did she do? She restricted it. So Allah Ta'ala restricted the water by letting it just come out as a kind of a well that you get now. So no, the butter bag was the same. The Prophet said, if you had left it, the whole valley would have been full with butter. Meaning when it comes to miracles, you should leave it. So Allah Ta'ala increases the blessings. In another flawless report, it mentions. So this is recorded in Sahih Bukhari, number 3578. Sahih Muslim, number 2040. Sayyidina Anas, radiyallahu anhu, he relates. My mother Umm Sulaym, radiyallahu anhu, had a sheep and gathered from it some, S-A-M-N, salmon, i.e. ghee, in an uqqa, i.e. a pot used to carry some. So what, she's got a sheep, Umm Sulaym radiyallahu anhu, and she's made some sort of ghee out of it, you know, maybe the milk, and she's put it into a kind of a pot to keep it fresh. Does she fill the uqqa and sent it with Rabi'a radiyallahu anhu, saying, O Rabi'a radiyallahu anhu, give this uqqa, this container, to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for he can use it as soup. Meaning, take some of this ghee, give it to the Prophet, he can use it at his discretion, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rabi'a radiyallahu anha took it, the small container, along with her, till she met the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is an uqqa of some that Umm Sulaym has sent to you. The Prophet said, empty the uqqa. She emptied the uqqa and it was returned to her, the container. She left and arrived when Umm Sulaym was not at home. Thus she hung the uqqa on a peg, the empty uqqa, for Umm Sulaym. When later Umm Sulaym arrived, she saw the uqqa full and dripping. So she thereupon said, O Rabi'a, radiyallahu anhu, did I not command you to take it to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She replied, I did. If you do not believe me, go and ask the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So look what's happened. It's full. And it's dripping with thingy ghee. So Umm Sulaym's thinking, you didn't do what I told you to do. She goes, I did. Just go and ask the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Umm Sulaym radiyallahu anha thereupon went with Rabi'a radiyallahu anha to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I sent her with an uqqa containing some I give for you. Did she give it to you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, you did. She indeed brought it to me. She thereupon asked, by the one who has sent you with the truth, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is indeed still full and dripping back in my dwelling with some. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon said, O Umm Sulaym radiyallahu anha, are you surprised that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for you just as you provided for his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Eat and feed others. She continued, I came back to the dwelling and I put it in a big pot of ours, such and such, i.e. the amount from the uqqa, and I left in it that which we use as a soup for a month or 2 months. So let's look at this. So this is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. So note, when it comes to miracles, it's very important to authenticate. Because miracles, you know, a person has every right to ask. You know, this is just, you're bringing up legends over these people. You love these people so much, you're inventing tales around them. So it's important to highlight where it's recorded. This is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. So it's not a legend, it's absolute fact. So what's the miracle? The miracle was that when the empty ukka returned to Sulaym's dwelling, Allah Ta'ala filled it up again. So obviously Sulaym's thinking, my servant Rabi'ah hasn't sent it. But she goes, I did send it. He got confirmation from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What did he say? Something amazing. He goes, are you surprised? Allah the Almighty has provided for you just as you provided for his Prophet. Eat and feed others. And she said, we ate from it for a month or 2 months. So imagine somebody gives you some margarine, let's say, or some butter. How long is it going to last? If you've got guests coming around. Because it was miraculous, it went on and on. But in another report, there's an addition. Sulaym radiyallahu anha said, I returned home, I distributed the butter in a large jug and in several other containers, leaving some in the bag. This was sufficient for us to make gravy for a month or two. This is in Tabarani, Abu Ya'la, Abu Nu'aym in his Dalail Nubu'ah, page 203, Al-Bidayah 6-103, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 8, page 309, comments upon the chain of narrators. I had the Sahaba, volume 5, page 592 of the New English Translation. So in this report, there's an addition. She distributed it into several smaller containers, meaning she wanted to distribute the blessings. Then it lasted for over a month or two. So note, miracles were happening possibly on a daily occurrence in the blessed city of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Indeed, no one despaired of getting justice from our beloved Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Consider the following blessed reports. So where's this recorded? In Bayhaqi, in his Dalail Nubu'ah 2-193-4, Hafiz Balazuri in his Ansab al-Ashraf 1-146, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah 1-389-90. So that's the reference. I'm going to summarize the report. So what is it mentioned in this, in these references? There was a man from Yemen. He came to Makkah and he sold his camel to Abu Jahl, who promised to pay him later. So a man came from Yemen, sold his camel, and he promised, Abu Jahl goes, don't worry, I'll pay you later. But when the time came, he refused to pay. The Yemeni thus waited for days on end. And Abu Jahl kept saying to him, wait a few more days, knowing full well he has to go back to Yemen. He said, I'm going to pay you. He goes, don't worry, in good time. So the Yemeni realized that Abu Jahl is not going to pay. Thus he went to Dar al-Nadwa, the gathering place of the chieftains of the Holy Kaaba. And he said in desperation, all leaders of the Quraysh, who amongst you will now pay me what I am rightfully owned by Abul Hakam ibn Hisham? I am a traveler, and he bought my camel from me, but he is now depriving me of my right. Who amongst you those who will now help me in obtaining what is my right from him? So what did the man do? Next to the Holy Kaaba, there's Dar al-Nadwa. This is where all the chiefs are. So he's pleading with them. He goes, look, is this how you treat your guests? I've come here. And Abu Jahl, his real name was Abul Hakam, because he's not fulfilling my, because who will help me? Everybody remained silent. Imagine, nobody said anything. He was greeted with hushed silence. The silence was, however, broken by one of them, who had seen our beloved messenger across the courtyard. He thereupon said to the Yemeni, go to him. He will arrange it for you. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon hearing of his plight, he said, come with me to Abu Jahl. I will go to his dwelling and I shall obtain your right from him. Don't worry. As the leaders saw the Messenger of Allah leave sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the Yemeni, they burst into laughter sarcastically. And he goes, now we will see, we'll have fun. In other words, let's see the fireworks take place now. Thereupon, one of them was told, go and see what happens, follow him. So one of the men followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Yemeni. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thereupon knocked upon the door. And Abu Jahl emerged to see him with the Yemeni. His face thereupon instantly turned pale, as if he had seen a ghost, and he started to shake. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Grant him his right." Abu Jahl said, "Indeed." He immediately gave the man his money. The Yemeni thereupon returned happily to the Quraysh chieftains and said, "May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him with goodness. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he obtained what was rightfully mine." The Quraysh looked at each other, they were dumbfounded. They goes, "What happened?" When their man returned, they goes, "Woe to you, what did you see?" He then said, "I'll tell you what I saw." Because he knocked on the door. Abul Hakam came out, his face went pale, he started shaking, he prayed the man. Before long, Abu Jahl turned up, and they all turned to him and said, "Woe to you, we have never seen you do anything like this in the past. Why did you do what you did?" Abu Jahl replied, "By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knocked on my door, I heard his voice. My body first went into shock. I started to fear, great fear inside me. When I opened the door and I got near, a camel stallion was in my way. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have never seen anything like the head, shoulders and teeth of that camel stallion before. He made as though he was going to eat me." He goes, "I had no choice but to pay." So all the Quraysh, imagine, listen to this. The man who reported it didn't see any camel. But imagine, they still persisted in their unbelief. Allah Ta'ala caused a miracle to happen. So imagine, the Prophet knocks on the door. Abu Jahl suddenly starts shaking. "What's the matter with me?" When he opens the door, he sees this wild camel. And he's basically looking at him saying, "If you don't pay up, I'm going to smash you to pieces." He goes, "Yes, definitely." There you go. And the one who was observing thought, "Why is Abu Jahl just paid up?" He goes back. And this was a sign to the unbelieving Quraysh. What did I mention a few nights back? They knew that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a prophet. But it was just their stubbornness. Abu Jahl should be one of the first to embrace Islam. Imagine, did he embrace Islam after this miracle? No. What did he put it down to? Witchcraft. Abu Jahl, upon seeing... So this is another report now. This is a different report with Abu Jahl. Where is this recorded? Hafiz Balazuri rahmatullah alayh in Ansab al-Ashraf 1-146. Hafiz Muhammad ibn Yusuf ibn Salihi al-Shami died 942 AH in his Subul al-Huda wal-Rashad 2-429. So I'm summarizing again. Another man from Yemen went with three of his best camels to the Hazwara market in Makkah. So there was a special market where they'd sell camels in Makkah. So he brought three of his best from Yemen. Abu Jahl, upon seeing their beauty, he asked their price. And the Yemeni asked for a good price, because it's a very strong breed of camel. He said, "I want this much." Abu Jahl thereupon offered him 1/3. And the Yemeni responded, "I want to make a profit. He's offering me a loss." Abu Jahl was feared by everyone in Makkah. And thus they also now feared that they would be angry with him if they bid higher than him, which would result in him humiliating and disgracing them. Thus the Yemeni realized he was stranded. So look at Abu Jahl. He's monopolizing the market. So he basically says, imagine, so let's say it's worth 1,000 dirhams, for example. He says, "I'll give you 300. But once he said that, nobody now will offer more than 300 dirhams because they were scared of Abu Jahl. But where does that put the one who's selling his camels? He goes, "What's happened here?" Abu Jahl was using monopoly. He thereupon, the Yemeni, desperately pleaded with the different leaders of the Quraysh. They all refused to help him. The Yemeni thereupon looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to one and all, "O assembly of the Quraysh." So what's happened? So the Yemeni now is desperate. None of the Quraysh are helping, leaders are helping. He turns to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now speaks on behalf of the Yemeni. What does he say? O assembly of the Quraysh, how do you make your money? How can traders come to you with their caravans? Who would come to you for sanctuary? You people are wrongdoers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, Man zalamak, who has wronged you? The Yemeni thereupon gave details. He goes, this man, Abu Jahl. Our beloved messenger thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aina ajmaluk? Where are your camels? You got three camels, where are they? Aina ajmaluk? The Yemeni said, it's in the marketplace. Our beloved messenger then took him by his hand to the camels, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, how much do you want for them? He thereupon purchased them at the price. So let's say it was 1,000. So the Prophet bought all three. Imagine. Yeah, I'll buy them. A short while later, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put the camels on sale. And within a short time, he sold two of them for the price he had paid for the three earlier. So he's got all his money back. He's still got a camel, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereupon, he sold the third camel. And thereafter gave the money he obtained from it to the widows of the Banu al-Muttalib tribe. Look at how noble our beloved messenger was. He got the profit. So you're thinking, okay, it's halal. He's going to take it himself. With that one camel profit, he gave it to the widows of one of his tribes. Our beloved messenger thereupon turned to Abu Jahl. And he said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Amr, إِيَّاكَ أَن تَعُودَ لِمِثْلِ مَا صَنَعْتَ بِهَذَا الْأَعْرَبِيِّ فَتَرَى مِنِّي مَا تَقْرَى. O Amr, beware of doing what you did to this Bedouin ever again, or else you shall see what you will not like from me. Abu Jahl thereupon grew fearful, and he quickly reassured him, saying, O Muhammad, I will never do it again. Upon this, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left. And the polytheists thereupon gathered around Abu Jahl. He goes, O Abu al-Hakam, what's happened to you? You were in front of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as if you were a corpse. Are you thinking of following him? Or have you become frightened? He explained, By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will never follow him. Rather, my incompetence in front of him was being I could see his sorcery. I saw that there were people standing to his left and right with spears in their hands, and they were pointing them at me such that if I contradicted him, they would have struck me. Another miracle. So what's happened? We went through the incident. He's bought the three camels, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gives the full money to the Yemeni. He is more than happy. The Prophet sells two of them, gets all his money back. With that one extra camel, the Prophet gives to the widows. He's dealt with all that. Then he goes to Abu Jahl. And what does he say to him? Look at the words. Ya Amr, iyaka an ta'uda li mithl ma sana'ata bi hadha al-a'rabiyya fatara minni ma taqra. O Amr, beware of doing what you did to this Bedouin ever again, or else you shall see what you will not like from me. The Prophet very rarely threatened. He threatened him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Jahl goes, I won't do it again. So does that sound like Abu Jahl? What's happened to him? So the people look at him, goes, what's happened to Abu Jahl? And then what did he say? He goes, he's doing sorcery at me again. He goes, there's people with spears next to him. If I had said anything else, they would have struck me. He says, I will never follow him. The accursed Abu Jahl, despite such clear signs, still died in unbelief. Now, think about this. It's very easy for this to say, if I had seen one of those signs, I'd become one of the greatest companions of the Prophet. Very easy for us to say this. But miracles destroy people as well. Think about that. When you think of a miracle, we think, if we see a miracle, yes. But isn't it also true that miracles destroy people? Who did it destroy? Abu Jahl. Now think about this. From these two reports, you get this impression that Abu Jahl, It's like Allah Ta'ala was basically taunting him. You're never going to believe. Even if I show miracles, you're not going to believe. And from his own lips, he said it. Because it's so silly, it's so silly. One, was that camel? He goes, he's going to, I couldn't contradict. Now he goes, his spears. Even the moon miracle. Who was the one who said about the moon? Abu Jahl. He goes, if you can split the moon, then we believe you. The reason he said that was because he says his sorcery works on the earth. It won't work in the heavens. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if Allah the Almighty and Glorious allows me to do this, will you believe? Abu Jahl, what did he say? I'll be the first. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He goes, watch. He goes, Bi-idhnillah. He pointed to the moon and he split. One went to that side, one went to that side. Abu Jahl and the men looked. And then he did this and he came together. And what did Abu Jahl say? His witchcraft works in the heavens. Right? Imagine. His witchcraft works in the heavens. So that's why he was called Abu Jahl. If somebody goes to you, he's not ignorant. He is the father of ignorance. Somebody goes, explain that. Why did the Prophet give him such a disgusting title? Ignorant is bad enough. That's an insult. He's the Chacha. The Abu. Abu of ignorance. Yes. Why? Ask the Muslims. Yeah, because, yeah, I haven't got a clue. Right? You go through these reports. You say, do you want some more reports? So I'll show you some more reports about it. Once, you know, just to finish, Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, radiyallahu anhu, Abu Jahl, and another man. Can't remember who that was. Right? The three of them, they were secretly listening to the Prophet during the night. He's reciting the Quran. So this narration is in Bayhaqi. And Ibn Hisham and Isira Ibn Ishaq. So Abu Sufyan ibn Habr secretly listening to Quran. Abu Jahl finds a spot, he's listening. And another man. This happened one night when the morning is broke, Fajr breaks. They quickly go back to their dwellings and they bump into each other. So when they bump into each other, they rebuke each other. He goes, look, let's not do it again. He goes, this was a weakness on our part. We won't do it again. Next night they did it again. They bumped into each other. He goes, look, this is embarrassing. Don't do it again. Happened third night. Then one of the three, he first went to Abu Sufyan. He goes, what's happened these last three nights? And then Abu Sufyan said, he was truthful. He goes, he says things which are amazing. Some things I understand, some things I don't. Then he went to Abu Jahl. So one of the three, he went to Abu Jahl now. And he said to Abu Jahl, do you think he's a prophet? What did Abu Jahl say in this hadith? He goes, there's no doubt about it. No doubt whatsoever. But then he said this. We, that's the Banu Makhzum, we and Banu Hashim were like two horses racing. They would feed the poor, we would feed the poor. They would entertain guests, we would entertain guests. He goes, we were with them like a horse with another horse in a race. Now they've said, they've got a prophet who's receiving revelation. He's, how are we going to compete with that? He's, I'll never believe in him. The man then was shocked at this response. Why? Because at the beginning he goes, there's no doubt. But at the end he goes, I'm never going to follow him. So what was it that stopped Abu Jahl from guidance? Obviously, Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives hidayat. But it was nothing but pride. Tribal. He goes, it's belittling for us that from another tribe, there's a prophet. Right? And this is what destroyed Abu Jahl. And just before he went to hell himself, he took a few with him as well in the Battle of Badr. Come on, lads, let's all go to hell. Right? And he took them all, like Pharaoh took them into the water. That's why the Prophet said, when Abu Jahl was killed in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, this is the Pharaoh of this ummah. Why? Because look at the similarities. Pharaoh destroyed his people, Abu Jahl did the same. Destroyed his people. But our Pharaoh was worse than the Pharaoh. Why? Because when Pharaoh was drowning, he started to say, I believe in the Lord of Musa and Harun. Too late. Abu Jahl was defiant to the end. When Abdullah ibn Masud stood on his chest, And he goes, "Oh, little shepherd, you've climbed high." Then he killed him. So even he was dying, he was worse than the Pharaoh. Imagine. So this was Abu Jahl. And look at all these things I mentioned today about. So note, these are miracles which were being experienced by the unbelievers. But sadly, some of them, due to nothing but pride, refused to follow our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all I mentioned today was basically, again, a few miracles now in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and many a lesson we can take from these beautiful reports. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ورواصوا بالحق ورواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم.